All right, let's turn to, I guess the first place will be is 1 Peter chapter 3. We're moving to eternity now. After the 1,000-year reign of the kingdom of righteousness of Jesus Christ upon the throne, ruling and reigning with a rod of iron, Satan is loosed. And when he is loose, the unregenerate, those who have been born during the millennium and chafing against the rule of God, quickly join with Satan in this one last opportunity or chance to try to rebel against him. You see, they're forced to worship throughout the millennium, and not all are going to like that. And it's these people that are going to join with him. They're going to seek to overthrow God. And think about it. You know, you start in Isaiah chapter 14. And that's, well, let's look at that. Isaiah 14. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 is a parallel to this. Dealing with the same subject, but in a little bit different way. But here in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, start there. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, this is Satan, when he rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven, thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan desired to be worshipped like God was. And as he tempted Jesus Christ in the wilderness, the final thing was he took him up on that pinnacle, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, all these will I give to you, Jesus, if you'll bow down and worship me. He desires to replace God, to overthrow God. In Ezekiel chapter 28, it talks about him being perfect in wisdom and beauty, the anointed cherub that covereth. At this point of his rebellion, he was, in a sense, second in command. But he wasn't satisfied with that. And he sought to overthrow God. And as he's loosed out of the hell after being bound there for 1,000 years, he has not changed in his purpose to try to supplant God. He gets these people to gather with him. And just like Satan, natural man is bent against God as well. It started in Genesis 3. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. And they did. Genesis chapter 11, they were building that tower to try to reach to God, getting to heaven their own way instead of what God was providing for them. And it's that unregenerate man that joins with Satan at this time. The story of man through the ages against God, as Ephesians talked about, we're enemies and aliens and so forth, and they try to overthrow him, but then they're defeated, and God destroys them and destroys this earth and this heaven. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Little children. Well, I guess I better get the right book. I'm still wrong. I told you right that time. I just went wrong. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. What's that mean? Anyone? Okay. Any question about that? Any confusion on that? They're going to pass away. And then he goes on, he says, with a great noise. What's that sound like? Okay. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There are several things, at least three things in that single verse that suggest a complete dissipation of the heaven and the earth. There's people that don't believe that. In spite of what it clearly says here, they don't believe this heaven and earth is going to be destroyed. That's what he said is going to happen. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, when Satan rebels and is defeated one last final time and is cast into the lake of fire, along with those who rose up and rebelled with him, this whole thing is destroyed. What happened to Nate and Sarah today is just a small picture of what's going to happen to every material thing that exists. The difference is, there's still a foundation standing there. There's going to be nothing. God's going to destroy it all. And after that destruction, then comes the great white throne judgment that we were talking about last week. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Well, let me back up a little bit. Verse 9, and he went out up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. This is Satan he's speaking of here. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, John doesn't give us as much detail as Peter did. But you, after reading what Peter said, you can see it right there. The fire came and devoured them. And it's gone. And the devil deceived them, who was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So after the destruction is a great white throne judgment. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now, the question was brought up, and you know, Dean's not here tonight, but I'll have to point out what I found on this. But he pointed out to me, he says, the dead. Who are the dead? That's the key to this whole thing. The dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, the assumption is the dead refers to lost people. So, obviously, we're not part of this because our judgment was at the judgment seat of Christ. And as I said last week, I believe that everyone except for those bought by the blood of Jesus Christ in this age and possibly tribulation saints, I believe will stand at this judgment. Now it says it's the dead that are there. And the contention is, well, are the Old Testament saints considered dead? would they be included in this? I think they are. The argument was that the dead is referring to those who are not right with God. But it says the dead, small and great, shall stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the argument is, since it repeatedly just refers to them as the dead, it's only those whose names aren't in the book of life that stand at this judgment and then are condemned to the lake of fire. Now, I was almost convinced, but I did some study and I came up with some things I think that indicate otherwise. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And I actually remembered this verse, but I didn't look at it until this afternoon, but it says Daniel 12 and verse 1. And of course, Daniel has been talking about the tribulation, starting back in chapter 7, and he's talking about the tribulation period, you know, the abomination that make a desolate, so forth. And all of chapter 11 has been talking about that as well. And he comes to chapter 12 and he says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now, it doesn't say it, but I believe that's the book of life. It makes sense. It matches up there. But he says, those who are written in the book are going to be delivered through that tribulation. Then go on in, and he kind of skips over the millennium. And he goes to verse 2 now, and he says this, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." I believe he's looking at the judgment seat of Christ. And if my assumption there is correct, then there are some who are resurrected, some of those dead get everlasting life at the judgment seat, or at the great white throne judgment. And some, everlasting death. Everlasting shame and contempt. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 28. Jesus, of course, is speaking here, and he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." A resurrection. A resurrection that without qualification, all that are left. So it's not the saved, it's all who are still in the grave. Of course, we're not at this point. All in the grave, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Matches what Daniel said. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting damnation. One more, Acts chapter 24. Acts 24 and verse 15. "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of dead, both of the just and the unjust." So there's three passages of scriptures that support the idea that that final resurrection includes both the just and the unjust. Both those who are resurrected to everlasting life, those who are resurrected to be cast into the lake of fire. Questions or comments? Danny. It is a little bit unclear, though, and I could see why the question was there, and I was almost accepting it, and then I thought of Daniel 12, and I got to look at that, and then I just started looking at some other verses here, and I came up with these other two as well, and I said, that pretty well clearly puts it that you have two different types of people resurrected at this point. Any other questions? So, the millennium's over. God destroys it all. Great white throne judgment. So now, what you have left is only the just. All the evil, all the wicked, all the unjust have been cast into the lake of fire. Along with Satan and the beast and the false prophet. And now you have just the just, but there's no place for us. Because heaven and earth have been destroyed. Chapter 21 of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And there are people that argue that God just fixes this one. But from what we read in 2 Peter, sounds like it's not much left to fix. It's gone. It's dissolved. Twice he used the word dissolved in that passage in 2 Peter. So this new heaven and new earth is a new creation. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Just a random thought that just suddenly flashed through my mind. When God began creating this earth and heaven, what was the first thing that was there? And then the dry land appeared out of it, and he separated it. But in this one, there's no more sea, he said. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So you got a new heaven, and you've got a new earth, and then you got this new city. It's called the City Four Square, New Jerusalem. It's a cube that comes down from God out of heaven. And it appears this thing is kind of suspended above the earth. And I heard a great voice, verse 3, out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God says, finally, no more rebellion. Finally, they serve me. And I am their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Wow. Think of that. Neither physical or emotional. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. It's all gone, just like this heaven and earth passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, Barack Obama, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. So there's a new earth, the new heaven, new Jerusalem, and this, which is a city adorned as a bride. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels. Well, let's drop down here a few verses. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, describing the city here, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth, and measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city are garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysosporus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. We never seen gold that pure. Think about that. You know, we put such value on this kind of gold. It's not pure. This is. It's transparent. And I saw no, and it's used for paving the streets. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all, for there shall be no night there. So this city, all the nations, all the kings must come to worship God in this city. And I believe this is our eternal dwelling place in this city. The Jews to inherit the earth. We get the city, the New Jerusalem. And in verse 25, and the gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's us. We dwell in this city. Questions or comments? Funny.
In verse 1, when it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, when they talk about heaven there, is that the atmosphere or is that
My assumption is, so take it for what it's worth, is that today we have three heavens. You know, you go out there, it's the first heaven is where the birds fly and the smoke rises and the clouds are. The second heaven is where the planets, the stars, and sun and moon and so forth are. The third heaven is where God dwells. That's today. You know, Paul said, I saw such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, such a man caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't think that division exists in the new heaven. There's just a heaven, there's an earth, and there's a new Jerusalem.
So the saints that die in the Lord are in the new heaven now, you're saying?
Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the city.
Okay, so that the new Jerusalem is the cubicle that's 15. Mm-hmm. Okay, so mm-hmm. they're dwelling there mm-hmm. now.
Oh, no, they're not dwelling there now. It's not made yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not made yet?
Because this is, it's, you know.
Well, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. How can you see it if it's not made?
Well, he's seeing all this. God's revealing these things to him in vision of what God is going to do in the future.
And then you're saying that the new earth, that's where the Jews that get saved, they'll dwell in the new mm-hmm. earth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Phil. One writer says it's like from Miami to Boston.
But height-wise, too.
Yeah, length, height, yep. Yeah.
So each person would have a
tribute.
It's crazy.
Dan? I think it's Zechariah 14.
What's our place at that point?
In the millennium, we're ruling and reigning with him. Yes. I think it's Ezekiel 14, or Zechariah 14. I'm sorry, Zechariah 14. Yeah. Start in verse 16, Zechariah 14 and verse 16. And, you know, the minor prophets have a lot to talk about. You know, it's kind of piecemeal, but Zechariah especially does talk about the millennium quite a bit. In verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen which come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all nations that come not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there are consequences, so it behooves them to begrudgingly do it, because not only will they suffer, but they'll have everybody around them mad too. Well, why didn't you go up? You know, this is because of you, idiot.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Bunny.
I was just wondering, you know, will we be able to talk to or, you know, to where the, I mean, I'd like to have a conversation with David someday.
I think the answer to that is in Deuteronomy 29:29. You know, again, I'm assuming that that's going to be a possibility. But, you know, the Old Testament Jews are going to inherit earth as well. That's theirs. That's what God promised to them. Okay. Danny?
I'm just going to say, I know I've heard some prophets and teachers already say that we'll have access, we'll come and go from earth to the city, but we'll dwell in the city or whatever. I don't have anything to prove that we're
right. Yeah, and you know, I really can't say either way from the scriptures. You know, I kind of like to think that that might be the possibility, but I don't know. Anyone else? Let's just a couple more verses in Revelation 22, and we'll at long last wrap up our study of dispensations. Verse 1 of Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure water, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And amidst the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. So you see that? This thing ends where it began. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And in the New Jerusalem, that tree of life appears once again. The guard, the angel guard that's been set around it, is pulled away. And there it is, the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I don't know. Don't know. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Finally, we do what right. We do right. We do what we're supposed to do. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then John wraps it up from there. So this water of life with the water of life with also the tree of life in this city. Any questions? Dan.
I presume there's no more procreation going on.
There is speculation that there is.
Because he doesn't want us to start over. I don't know which it is.
Well, he said there shall be no more curse in verse 3.
Right.
So it's done.
I mean, everybody that's there has already been through the knowledge of good and evil. We all know it. Now if we're reproducing kids, I suppose now you get into theology about sin and so forth. But all of that's restored. I mean, there's the curse is gone. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't know. You know, I've heard that we continue to expand and repopulate outer space. But, you know, it's a lot of prophecy gets pretty iffy.
What will
be the angels of heaven? We will be, yes.
Kind of interesting how Satan always tries to rip off everything, but
Well, and even before that, in the tribulation, the 144,000 are sealed. Satan's a master counterfeiter. He must be Chinese descent. Any other questions? Okay.